Good evening, everyone in Audio Boo Land. I am sitting in bed writing this with a hot water bottle. Now, it's not very often I boo from my bed. Sometimes I do direct messages, but I don't usually do a public boo. I have just had the crappiest 24 hours. When I got back from the hospital yesterday, I think I'm over the worst now because I feel a lot better, but when I got back from the hospital yesterday, I had an upset stomach and I felt really sick. And I thought the sickness was from travelling, because that's Obi's music. He's just going in the shower and he has his phone playing in there. He'll shut the door in a minute. Hold on, I'm on the audio boo. Hold on, let's pause. Okay, I've completely lost my train of thought, because I've stopped this for about 10 to 15 minutes. I got back and I thought it was from the travelling, because we were stuck in traffic, it was quite hot and all that. And then I started to feel really bloated, really sick. And I'm not going to, I wasn't sick, I touch wood, never am, but the last time I was sick was in 1991, and then it was once. But I started to feel like I've been blown up like a balloon. And look, but given, bear in mind, I've got 2 plus litres of fluid inside my abdomen, and I felt really uncomfortable. And this has happened before, since I've been on dialysis. I don't know what it is, whether it's something to do with the dialysis or whether it's something to do with my intestines or a combination of the two. It's happened 3 or 4 times before. It's extremely unpleasant. So what I decided to do, which I do occasionally, and I don't like having to do this, but I drained the fluid out and I didn't put any back in, because that relieved the kind of pressure I could feel. My skin felt like it was blown, like tight. It was really horrible. And that relieved that. But I still had just like aching, really bad aching under my ribs, my stomach. It wasn't like an upset stomach, like a bug kind of pain. It was probably some kind of spasm or cramp or trapped wind or something, I don't know. And I made chamomile tea and peppermint tea, and I didn't eat anything. And the chamomile, and then I know this sounds disgusting, but I burp and burp and burp. I mean, it must be air somehow that gets in there. But I didn't feel any better. I couldn't lay down. I sat up from about 7 o'clock last night to about 3 in the morning or 4. I couldn't lay down, because every time I lay down, I think I was feeling better, then I'd lay down and it all spread up under my ribs again. It was really painful. I didn't put any fluid in. Anyway, I thought it'd be gone in the morning, because sometimes it's better. And in the morning it was better, to the degree that It was lower down. It wasn't up under my ribs, which is the worst bit, because it's just really horrible when you breathe in. It hurts, and had moved down. It was just like period pains, and I knew it was something to do with my digestion, if you know what I mean. I didn't go to the hospital to have my heart thing done. And unfortunately...
Hello? Are you listening to me?
No, I was going to say something.
Okay, let me just pause it. Ronan's here. He's waiting. I thought I could feel him moving around on the end of the bed. Okay, he was just waiting to talk to me. He didn't want to interrupt me. So last night, Ronan fed all the animals for me, because I just felt really awful. And this morning, I said to Obi, then about 10 o'clock last night, he got an email from his work to say that he'd asked for the week off 2 weeks ago. He'd asked for this week off, and last Friday and this week off. He's been working there 6 months, and he hasn't had any time off yet. Excuse me. So he wanted the week off because he had had 2 appointments with me, a Friday's appointment, and he had a couple of other things to do for himself, so he wanted this week off. So he got this email to say he's meant to be working today, So he rang up and he had an argument with them because he said because the man said he didn't ask the time off. He should have put it in writing because this bloke, his line manager, is absolutely, absolutely useless. And he did ask for the time off and the bloke said it was all right because I was there when he made the call. So he's asked for next week and the week after off, but he's going to be working. I'll come to that in a minute. But anyway, so I said, well, I'm not going. It was about 10 o'clock at night. It was raining. And I said, I'm not going to the appointment in the morning now because I said, if I feel like this, I'm not going anyway, which I did still in the morning. And I said, and the thing is, if he doesn't come with me, I take Niall. And I said, the transport office don't open till 8 o'clock. And I'd had a message on my landline saying to be ready by 7:15 in the morning from the transport people. So I said, they will start going on about Niall. They can't refuse to take him. I don't know if they can because it's not like a taxi service. So I don't know if they can refuse to take him, but they make things difficult. Some of the drivers are all right, but some of them make it difficult. And they say, oh, we're not insured, you know, if anything happens, we're not insured to carry the dog and all this crap. So I couldn't face that first thing in the morning, feeling that crap and him not coming. And I couldn't, and he's really molting. Niall's really molting badly at the moment. And it was raining last night and I knew I wouldn't have time in the morning to brush him. And I hadn't done him yesterday because I wasn't here. So he really needed doing. And I just said, oh, if that's, you know, I'm not going. So I was going to ring up the transport office at 8 o'clock and cancel my transport just in case they hadn't arrived yet. But they turned up at 12 minutes past bloody seven and Obi went down and spoke to them. I don't know what he said because by this time I'd gone into my night's sleep because I was absolutely exhausted.
And I didn't even cancel my appointment, which
I never do. If I don't go to an appointment, I always cancel it. So I expect I'm going to be in the doghouse over that now. It was my echogram thing. I will call tomorrow. I'll call the renal unit and speak to them about it and see what they say. But I just felt like crap and I slept all morning. Well, I woke up at 20 past 10 and I thought, oh, my appointment is gone. Anyway, I went back to sleep for a little while and then I just tried to get up and I didn't feel well enough. But anyway, I slept this afternoon with a hot water bottle and I took some paracetamols. And then I got up and from Iceland you get these burger buns. They're quite small and I just had two of those on their own with nothing in them because I felt, by this stage, my stomach was really empty and I felt hungry. Now, I think it was the mushrooms I had yesterday because I'm fine with mushrooms. I eat them raw and I love them, but that mushroom stroganoff I had, I was beginning to think about eating a field of mushrooms. I'd beginning to think I'd eaten a bloody field of toadstools because the stroganoff, it was a whole plate. When I say a plate, I mean it was a full dinner plate of this stuff. Now, normally you have it with rice and it comes as a complete dish most places if you go to a proper restaurant. Because this is a self-service place, it comes as just on its own, which I didn't realise. And then you can put chips with it. There was couscous, there's rice. But Obi had gone up to get my food and he didn't realise. So he just got me the meal and a salad, which I didn't eat, but because I was full up. It was a big plate of this stuff and it was actually quite nice, but it got a bit boring after a while because it was just mouthfuls and mouthfuls of mushrooms. And I think too many mushrooms can make you feel a bit bloated. I don't know. I think I've had that before and I think my mum's told me the same thing. So I'm going to blame it on the mushrooms. And Obi was really laughing last night because I said, I never want to see another mushroom as long as I live. anyway, when I fell asleep this afternoon, I woke up about, I don't know, 4:30. I slept for about 2 hours, I think. And then I've been listening to a few boos in bed as well.
And to pass the time, we woke up.
I thought, I don't like going, I was nearly 24 hours without fluid. I won't go any longer than that. Because I still do wheeze, so I'm not storing up fluid at all, which is good. But I'm obviously not getting rid of the toxins, and it doesn't make you feel ill straight away. But you know, you could have, if you leave it I think they told me I could probably go about a week without doing it. But I never pushed it that far. I wouldn't go more than 24 hours. So I actually only, I just about an hour ago put in half a bag, just put 1 litre of fluid, because I thought if I start feeling bloated again, I like to gradually increase it. And the funny thing is with it, I still had stomachache when I woke up. Not as bad, but I could still feel it there. My stomach felt tender, like if you pushed on it, you know, it felt like I'd been kicked in it. And I just, sometimes when it gets to a certain point, when I've had this before, the only thing that gets rid of the stomachache is actually, conversely, to put the fluid back in. And Dawn, that's the one of the PD nurses at the hospital, told me that she's heard people say that before, that when they've drained the fluid out, they had said they get really bad stomach pain, and they say, can you put the fluid? Because your body gets used to it. It's like withdrawal symptoms. So I think part of it today probably was the pain that I didn't have the fluid in. So I've got a litre of fluid in there now. The pain's completely gone, and I feel okay. So, but I'm not feeling very happy, I must admit, because of all that, it's really, oh, it just gets you down. But aside from that, OB did some training earlier in the year to be a, no, what is it? What did he do? It's to work on the railway, a personal track safety course he did. It wasn't cheap. It was about £500, and he had to pass a load of exams, which he did. Some of them, most of them, he got full marks in. And then he had to do another one, which was, what was that one? Oh, to work with electricity, the ACDC course, or whatever it's called, which he passed as well. And he's been trying to get in to do that kind of work, because he likes the care work, but, you know, he can't get regular work. I mean, regular hours, because the line manager and the manager of the home don't want to upset one another. So therefore, well, really, everyone doesn't want to upset his line manager, who's just a prat. So they can't sort that out. So he's been looking for work, and he's got some for 2 weeks. Now, starting tomorrow, he found out about it today. It's working. He's got to go up to Willesden Junction. I don't know what... He's not just going to be working there. It's actually on the underground, I think. But I think it's on stations that are overground, if you know what I mean. It's to do with installing a load of CCTV cameras. And it's 8 till 5. It's for 2 weeks solid with no weekend breaks. That's the bit I'm not happy about. I'm okay that it's going to be financially rewarding at the end. And I won't deny that that will be good, but I'm really a bit down, because we won't be able to have our evening walks, because he's got to leave here about 5:30 in the morning. He won't get back till about 7, basically. And I know when you've got a full-time job and you commute to London, that's how it is, because I've done it myself for a number of years. For about 5 years I did it. Yeah, was it 5 years? Yeah. And I know you leave early. You leave some ridiculous time. Well, I didn't leave as early as that, because I didn't have to go as far, but I left at 6:45 in the morning, and I didn't get home till about 6:30 at night, and sometimes later, depending whether what time I left work. So I know what it's like, and 5 days a week is fine, but it's just the fact of not having any, you know, for working 14 days solid, he's going to be absolutely exhausted. But anyway, hopefully he might be able to get on a contract where he works regular hours. And the more work you do for these people and the more courses you do, and they call them tickets, the more jobs you'll get offered. And the thing is, I'm a bit worried about it because, you know, the safety issue, it's not, working in the care home is pretty safe. Oh, I say that. It is physically safe, but then you can be called into question about your practices. He never has been, but people are sometimes. You know, he's very good with people. He could pretty much work anywhere with anybody, I think. And I think he's going to miss some of the people. But he'll probably, if he can't get the rail, if get his foot on the ladder in the railway community, he will be back doing the care work. So they're always crying out for people. But in the railway thing, it's quite easy to get promotion. You do a load of tickets and you do a certain amount of work and you can be promoted to a COS, which is a... What does it stand for? Controller of Site Safety. You know, you can go... It's not that difficult to rise up. It is dangerous work, though, especially in this part of the country where you've got... Well, the overhead lines are just as dangerous, really, actually. In some ways, even more so, because they carry more electricity than the third rail, but that carries enough to kill you. Cheerful, aren't I? Anyway, I should be worried sick for the first few days because I won't be able to just call him. Well, I can't when he does the care work anyway. I'm used to that now. Because when he was in Nigeria, you know, the jobs he was doing, even though he wasn't supposed to answer the phone, I could always get him to answer the phone. Do you know what I mean? He'd always answer the phone, but... When you're doing care work, there's no signal in most of the wards in the care home where he's been doing the nights. Or sometimes he'll get a signal, it depends where he's working. If he's upstairs, he does. I'm on the top floor. But you can't ring someone at work all the time like that anyway when they're dealing with vulnerable people, because if they get distracted, you know, they could make a mistake. They could turn around to answer the phone and someone could spill a cup of tea over themselves and then they'd be in trouble. So you can't do that anyway. So I'm used to that. But I know that he's doing something that's not dangerous. But with this work, it is dangerous, you know, whatever you're doing. Especially if you're working in the daytime when there will be trains running. It's not at weekends when they sometimes... At night when they turn the power off and stuff and there's no trains, but there will be, so... Therefore, it's dangerous, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, he might not like it. He might decide not to do it. I don't know. I doubt it, but you never know. So that also means he can't have his driving lesson for the next 2 weeks, which is a bit of a downer, but, well, what can you do? You know, sometimes you have to take these opportunities when you get them. And the driving lessons will still be there when he's finished it. So I'm not too upset about that. Everyone keeps telling him that with these driving instructors, you can't get away with like... Right, hold on a sec. Anyway, so that's where we're at. And I think I'm going to leave this for now. I do want to come back and do a boo, but I might do it tomorrow. About irrational fears, but take care all and hope you're all having a good day. Bye for now.